again, for everybody that's come in tonight, we're going to do, and the next four weeks, what we're going to be talking about are different leadership styles and personalities. One of the reasons we want to talk about leadership styles and personalities is because by now, you know, if you've bumped into three people or five people ever in your life, you already know that people are different. Now, that's a good thing that can often be misinterpreted as a bad thing. And so let me just kind of put, you know, our learning in perspective. It's important, I believe, for all of us to kind of understand leadership styles because as we come to these trainings, one of the things I encourage, and I think you two will probably co-sign on, is that everybody has some leadership potential. Now, for our conversation, whenever we talk about leadership, you know, we're using Maxwell's definition. You know, Maxwell says that leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. You know, he'll argue time and time again that everything rises and falls on leadership, and leadership is influence. So whenever you hear leadership, you know, for you or for another person on your job or maybe in your ministry or on the team that you serve on, understand we're saying that every person influences someone or some group. It's your job as a leader, one, to be able to influence them, but then it's also your job to recognize who they influence, how they influence, and then help facilitate and grow their leadership ability. You become a better leader because you're able to make leaders. You don't become a better leader because people follow you. You know, and our goal is really to kind of help each person maximize their potential so they, in turn, maximize someone else's. So, you know, with those definitions in use, one thing we're looking at is understanding that if leadership is influence and there are different leadership styles, then it's probably accurate to say that most people we interact with are leading, you know, in some capacity, even if we don't necessarily agree with it, even if we don't understand it. So, you know, the next 4 weeks, what we want to do is really try to get you to better understand how people around you are leading. You know, a lot of times, you know, you'll get in a conversation, particularly if you're the head leader, you know, you have an idea, you have a vision, you have something that's already ahead of you, you know exactly what you want done. And the problem with that is we often also know exactly how we want it done. And if anybody says anything different, you know, the humble leader will listen, but they may not always accept it and run with it because, you know, they're the leader and they want it done their way. What we find is that if you understand other people's leadership styles, you'll see that often people are trying to get to the same end goal, you know, the same, they have the same ambition, they have your vision, maybe not the way you see it, but, you know, they have an idea of what you want to do. But because of their particular leadership style, they may actually be trying to get there in a different direction. And one thing I always talk about, you know, is just getting to a place. We have these fancy GPSs, which are great. Love GPS. They help you get to where you're going to go. But if you're like me, there have been times where you plugged in an address into your GPS. You already knew where you were going. But because you had the convenience of it, you know, you plugged it in. And what you found is that your GPS actually gave you directions different than how you usually drive there or walk there or get there. And then you have to make a decision. You know, you have this electronic device that's supposed to be technologically advanced that you're supposed to trust. It's telling you make a right, but you know if you make a left, it's going to be quicker. You know, it's telling you there's traffic ahead, but you haven't heard anything about traffic, so you don't know whether to believe it or whether to go, you know, with what you know. And often, you know, in our everyday leadership, in our ministries, in our businesses, in our organizations, we have that same crossroad. We know where we want to go, and we know how to get there, but then there's some other voice saying, hey, but if you go this way, or if you do it like this, we'll get there too. And you have to kind of make that choice on, you know, how you're going to do it, if you're going to do it, whether or not it's going to work. What we're suggesting is when you understand people's leadership styles, you understand not just why they disagree with you, but you also start to kind of understand why they think that that direction or that turn or that idea or cutting back on funds this way or prioritizing something that you hadn't thought of, you understand better why they make the choices they make. And again, that's important because if leadership is influence, you don't want to lose your level of influence over the people that you're supposed to lead because you always disagree or because they always disagree with you. Don't let people who think different become a distraction or challenge. You know, our goal is to take people who may be different, come up with different ideas, different challenges, they have different priorities than you do, and somehow merge those and assimilate that how you lead and what you think may be right, correct, or priority. And together, you know, we all arrive at the same location. So a couple of thoughts, just as, you know, as a way of notes. This is what you have, you know, on your worksheet. We'll talk about these three leadership styles, and I'm just going to kind of briefly summarize those. Then after that, one of our lead coaches, Ade Walker, he's going to come and talk to us about this behavior pattern so that you at least kind of understand personality different from styles. Personality is how a person acts, is who they are, is what they do. Leadership styles can change. Leadership styles may be the product of their personality or their behavior. Kurt Lewin has this idea that every leadership style, and there are many, they really kind of stem from three major leadership styles. They actually did the study. They took all of these kids, put them in the classroom, then they split them up into three groups. Once they split them up into three groups, they put three different types of leaders with the kids, and they watched how the kids reacted. Now, I'll be honest, when I first, you know, started studying leadership styles, learned about Kurt Lewin, one of the things that, you know, I had to question was, why did he use kids? For anybody who, you know, knows principles, one of the things that I often teach is that everybody has been a child, not everybody has been an adult. So whenever you break things down on a child level or you do research and surveys with children, you get, first of all, 100% honesty. And two, you really get, you know, the core of how people act in general. So, you know, they did a study with this group of kids, and they found that there were three different types of leaders, and these three different types of leaders are really all hinged on how they make decisions. It wasn't on their skill set. It wasn't on the amount of education they had. It wasn't necessarily on gender or race or how they grew up culturally, uptown or downtown. The leaders were actually characterized based on how they made decisions. You know, which again goes back to what I was saying earlier, that, you know, when you get GPS and you get your own personal idea of how you're going to get there, what you have to do then is make a decision. So there were three different leadership styles that we had. One was noted as the authoritative or autocratic leadership style. And that person usually didn't really consult anybody. They didn't talk to any of the followers, didn't really ask the class, what do you want to do? The authoritative, autocratic type of leader is a person who sits him or herself down, comes up with the plan, and then after coming up with the plan, decides, this is what we're going to do. They then proceed to tell everybody else, this is what we're going to do. Here's your job. This is what you have to finish. Here's your deadline. Now, on the one hand, you know, that could work. So we're not at all saying that it's bad. We're not saying that it's not going to be effective. But what we are saying is you want to remember that you have to be a leader. So if that's your style, you know, we're not saying change it, but we are saying be aware. The positive to that is that you obviously get done exactly what you want done. You know, when you're authoritative, when you are autocratic, when you say it, it gets done, no questions asked, and usually it's done in the manner that makes you excited and you are pleased. When you do that, the positive, again, is that you probably meet your deadlines. The positive to the autocratic is once you set it, it's done. So it takes out all of the worry or the faith factor. It removes any type of doubt because you know exactly what's happening. Now, negative to that is that it doesn't allow people who follow you to have a voice. Now, the problem with them not having a voice is people are much more prone to be excited about and be active in something that they feel a part of. So, again, we're not saying it's a bad personality style or leadership style, but what we are saying is be aware that, you know, when you go aggressive, autocratic, authoritative, it really reduces the power of the people that you lead, that you serve with, that are following, that are on your team. The other negative to that is it assumes that you actually have the best answer. Now, again, you're in leadership, and let's be honest, every person in leadership, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have the best skill set of all the skill set and that you know everything. You know, every leader knows that you need team members. But the authoritative person makes a decision and then it's assumed that the decision they made has to be the best decision, and in some cases, it's the only way that it could work out. So again, you know, the positive is it's done the way you want it. The negative to that is that you fail to get creative ideas that could be more effective, that could reach other people, that could actually touch those that you can't touch because, you know, you're different than some of the other persons on your job. And so, you know, it has some positives, it has some negatives. You just kind of have to figure out for yourself, you know, is that something that you do? Is it something that you attribute to? And then the other side is you have to figure out, do you have team members that are like that? Are there other people who are following you that are leading other teams under you or with you, and they have that same authoritative leadership style? Doesn't make it wrong. But, again, what you want to do is identify it and say, okay, you know, say to yourself, okay, if that's how they lead, then what I know is that there may be some other ideas out there. I'm just not getting them because this person leads to this autocratic or this authoritative leadership style. So just kind of be aware of that particular style and, you know, kind of identify. You know, personal example, I know for myself, one of the things that I did early on, just kind of in overall leadership, is I would kind of say, this is how we do it, this is what we want to do. What I found was when I asked questions, you know, say, look, this is what I think we should do, and then ask how can we do it, there were so many different answers. One, the meetings got long. Two, it may have taken us longer to come to a final decision. However, there were some creative ideas that I would have never thought of. And then two, because people were involved when we left that meeting, they then shared with others, you know, what we were doing because they actually felt a part of it. So, again, you know, just kind of, you know, balance that out for yourself and really figure out what type of style you have, and is the style you have one that you want to keep, one that you want to improve on, or is it, you know, something that you're happy with? The second type of style that Lewin talks about is this style known as the democratic. The democratic leader takes her hands, and then places them where the followers are, where the people are. It's a decision-making process that involves everyone. It's obviously democratic. It's, here's the idea, let's take the majority rule. Let's take a vote. Who's for it, who's against it? Who likes this, who doesn't? Does everybody want to go with red or you want to go with blue? Do you want to do it now or do you wait till later? And whatever the majority of the group says, the democratic leader says, this must be right, let's do it that way. Now, what you read is that they don't always put it to a vote, as in ask the question, but their mindset is such where they're trying to figure out what is the majority consensus, and when they hear that majority consensus, they then go with it. I think what you read in your worksheet is that it'll actually say they do not take the vote. But what you'll know is the leadership style is such where in their mind, they're really trying to figure out what does everybody agree with. The problem with it is they usually take what everybody agrees with, and then they still assume all the responsibility and go forward. Now, the positives is you get a lot of people that are on board. Positives to it is that everybody has some input. So whether they are accepted or rejected, they at least got to, you know, voice their opinion. A positive to it is you finally get your vision out there and everybody hears it, opposed to it being isolated where only one group or two groups hear what's going to happen and they only hear what their part is. The democratic leader puts, you know, the entire vision out, the entire idea, this entire project, and everybody kind of gets their hand in every part of it. Now, the negative is probably the same. The negative is now some people may know too much and they'll be tempted not only to do their job but to do somebody else's, or they'll be tempted to tell somebody else how they're supposed to do their job in order to help them do their job. The negative to it is that it assumes that because the majority agrees, then it has to be right. And all of us know that there are moments where the minority group may actually have the best idea or the stronger, you know, a stronger voice. If no other area, you know, coming into the day after the Super Bowl, now, one of the conversations about the Super Bowl between the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks was that these guys for the Seahawks, one, they were getting paid little, because they were never really expected to do this well. You know, they were drafted late. Some of them weren't drafted at all. Many of them were free agents. They were almost kind of the has-been group that had already been marginalized as minority. They were the group that nobody picked and wouldn't listen to. But they rise to the top. You know, they win a Super Bowl convincingly. And maybe, you know, maybe we have Seattle Seahawks-like players on our team that we miss because we don't put it out there. Or you put it out and you only go with what the majority says. Sometimes it's the minority voice. Now, I'll be honest, you know, just kind of doing leadership, I notice usually leaders stand with the minority when they are part of the minority. When it's your idea and everybody's on board, you go with it. You ignore the voices that are small and silent and may not necessarily be big in number. But when you're the minority, when everybody's against it and you're the only one, then, you know, we go strong. Well, I'm the leader, and even though it's just me, I believe this is going to work, and you go after it. I think we got to be careful. I think, you know, going into today's lesson on leadership styles, you want to at least be conscious that the Democratic leader exists. Maybe it's you, or maybe, again, it's someone else on your team who only goes with the majority. The negative, again, is that sometimes you miss out on something that could be powerful in a minority group. The third leadership style is the laissez-faire leader. They don't really do too much. They delegate a lot, and they turn in the final project, or they take responsibility for the end production for whatever sales were made, you know, whatever ministry went forward, whatever product was produced, whatever this new vision is. They'll take credit for it, but they don't do a lot of work. Now, they're good at delegating. You know, we haven't talked about delegating, but delegating is good. Some leaders, many leaders, are burnt out because they don't delegate enough. The laissez-faire actually kind of delegates too much. They rarely know what's going on. If asked to give a report, they immediately have to ask someone else because, you know, they just don't know exactly what's happening. And so, again, that could be your leadership style. We're not saying it's bad. We're just saying, understand that if that's you, then maybe you want to be a little more involved, or at least you want to know a little more, ask a few more questions. They trust their followers, the positive. You know, they trust the team. The laissez-faire leader often spends more time picking the right person to be on the team and making sure the skill set matches whatever the task or the assignment is, because they're serious about everybody else getting their job done. Because everyone else getting their job done is what will help them get their job done. And so, you know, laissez-faire person advantages, of course, is that more people are involved. Another advantage is that it empowers the entire team, and so the work is never put on just one person. Another advantage for laissez-faire is that the laissez-faire leader is able to have free time to do other things. Now, I'm not sure what the other things are. Maybe the other things are business responsibilities or the ministry responsibilities. Or maybe, you know, because they're laissez-faire, they get to spend more time with their family, do more on vacation, you know, go shopping on the business tab on the trip. I don't know, you know, what those other things are. But their time is freed up because they're a little more laissez-faire. The negative to it, again, is that the team doesn't get the benefit of that person's true leadership. Negative to it is it puts a lot of pressure on each individual team member to perform at their best. The laissez-faire leadership is usually where people are fired when they don't perform or kicked out when they didn't meet what was the standard or the quota, because so much pressure was put on them meeting the deadline or them showing up or them teaching the lesson or them, you know, coming up with the project board. And when they don't do it, it causes failure for the entire team, so they have to be removed. And so, you know, again, these are some of the positives and the negatives. These are the three leadership styles by Kurt Lewin. It's that authoritative or autocratic leadership style. There's a democratic leadership style. And then there's a laissez-faire leadership style. Those are styles different from behaviors. What we have now is one of our other lead coaches, Ade Walker, he's going to come now and kind of just share with us exactly what the DISC personality assessment is. Some of you may have heard of it before. Again, he's coming in now. Ade, if you would star 6, that'll open up your line. That's what I put you on.
Okay.
Yep, all right. And he's going to just overview. Over the next 4 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, we're going to actually go much more in-depth into each one. So if you have questions, definitely email us back or post them on and post them in the Facebook group. If you don't have questions, just kind of receive, you know, his teaching now. I bet you got the floor.
Thank you. Trust everyone is having a good night, and we've had a lot of great information on leadership styles thus far. And in terms of personality, I think it's important to talk about, at least in an overview manner, the this personality types. So let me give you a brief historical background on this, because really it is the four temperament model of human behavior. And it was first introduced by Hippocrates 400 years before Christ. And what he basically said was that the four humors were the actual chemical makeup and the color of the bile in the blood. And it was a few years later, about 190 B.C., Galen, he identified the four classic types that many of you have heard of: choleric, sanguine, phlegmatic, and melancholic. And those were ways to kind of understand human behavior and personality types, or the temperament part of personality. In 1928, William Marston, he actually changed the old Greek titles that some of us are familiar with into dominant, inspirational, submissive, and compliant. So when you hear the term DISC, that's where it started for Marston in 1928. And just as a side note, William Marston, many of you may have heard this, but William Marston was the gentleman who looked at the portrayal of women in terms of personality and behavior in entertainment, and created the character we know as Wonder Woman, because he wanted to see a human behavior that was more positive, a more positive portrayal of women. So this human behavior information that we have starting to emerge becomes something where we begin to understand a functional side of human behavior. So we're not talking about those with personality disorders, or we're not talking about negative mental health. We're talking about positive mental health. And so the DISC helps us understand what positive mental health looks like, and it helps us see in these particular four quadrants what different people are like, what are their types. And so there are other people like Dr. John Guy or Dr. Nels Carbonell that begin to understand this information and begin to develop systems, even put this information with spiritual gifts so that people can kind of get a comprehensive understanding of how to lead other people. And that's really what we're talking about. How does DISC help us lead other people? One of the things that DISC does is it helps to bolster or increase your self-awareness, because if you're not aware of who you are and what type of leadership style that you have or what type of behavior you have, you're probably not fit to lead other folks, because it's almost like a language barrier wherein you're speaking sort of a different language based on your behavior and their behavior. And one thing that you might be doing, they may not be able to understand, and therefore you can't influence or lead them. Another thing it does is, once there is an issue there, it helps you respond to and address conflict. The DISC model helps us understand our motivations, our drives, our passions, and it also helps us solve problems. In terms of leadership, it's excellent because it makes me, for example, if I'm a D, see that I probably need some I's, some S's, and some C's on my team so that we can have a better effort in terms of completing our goal. So you'll see as we break down these four types in the next few weeks that they each have their strengths and they each have their weaknesses. Some of them are focused on relating and connecting to and influencing people. And some of them, and the other two, are focused on influencing and performing, influencing products and performance. So let's look at them a little bit, because once we kind of understand them in the next few weeks, we'll understand how to be more well-rounded as a leader. The first one is D, and that is for dominance. And this type of person, if you have a picture of it, or if you have a blank sheet of paper and you could draw a circle and put like a cross in the middle of it, you would put the D in that top left corner. And the D, it means dominant. It means directing. Sometimes it can mean dogmatic. It really has to do with this person is a go-getter, this person is very confident. And as it was mentioned, we'll go more into detail a little bit later. But they are big picture oriented. They're very straightforward. And so obviously we need this type of person, this type of go-getter that's outgoing but also can make sure that the job gets done as well. If we go to the next quadrant, the top right corner, we see the I. They're more influencing. They are more to the point where they are people, not necessarily people pleasers, which they can be, but they're focused on helping people, not just interested in performance or product. They're also outgoing. They're very persuasive. They're convincing. And they're more relational oriented. If we go to the S, which is the bottom right corner, these folks are more steady. They're more family-oriented. They're dependent. They're sincere. Some people might call them the stable group. And these are the folks that are methodical. They take their time. They're very calm. And because they're at the bottom half, they're more introverted. They're less extroverted than the I and the D. And so they really focus on helping people, taking their time, helping people. And we'll get into some of the implications with leadership and how these folks relate to each other a little bit later. And then finally, the bottom left corner, which would be the C, these folks are the conscientious folks. They're more thinkers. They like to be independent. They get the job done. They're product and performance-oriented, but they still will get the job done. They're more objective. They're analytical. They reason a lot. They don't like to be wrong, and they are valued for their accuracy and their expertise. So this is basically just an overview of these things, and there are other types of ways of looking at personality. There is the Jung model, which many people know as the Myers-Briggs, and there's the Kiersey. But we find that DISC many times is the easiest way because it's only four components. And so it's a simple way of looking at human behavior and how people react and relate to each other. And so this is really a good way to begin to sort of understand at a basic level what leadership is and how we connect to each other so that we can influence them in whatever sphere or walk of life we're in. Thanks.
I did definitely appreciate that. Again, you know, tonight what I did was really just kind of introduce it. So if you've heard of it before, you know, what you probably just heard was familiar. If you've never heard of it, I want to encourage you to keep calling back in because we can go really in-depth into that. One of the things we do on all of our calls is try to meet different needs. And so, you know, we talk leadership styles, we talk personality styles, and tonight as an intro call, we really wanted to just kind of get an idea of what we do. Now, you know, the question is which, you know, which leader are you? You got to be honest. We had a good conversation, I think, tonight. Maybe you heard some things that challenge you. Maybe you heard all of this before, but who are you? Like, which style do you have? Which person are you? And strangely enough, you may not be the person you think you are. So the first challenge, you know, I want to give for everybody is for you to actually ask someone on your team. You know, if you had to pick one of the leadership styles that I had, what type of leader do you think I am? Do you think I just kind of tell you guys what to do? Do you think I delegate a lot? Do you think I ask, you know, to figure out what the majority is and I always go with everyone who's right? And when you ask that question, don't just ask the people that you like or the people that you think like you. Maybe you do an anonymous survey. You just kind of put it out and have everybody answer. You take that back, you know, in your own secret corner because it might make you cry when you hear the truth, or you might be excited. But the idea is, you know, to make this investment in you being a better person. Doesn't matter how long you've been where you are. Doesn't matter, you know, how great or how many accolades you receive. The goal of the mastermind is to have like minds come together and say, hey, this is where I am. I know there's more. and I think I know how to get there. Here's the problem. You only know what you know, but you do not know what you don't know. And so we really believe that in conversations like these with the different coaches we'll have, you'll actually have the opportunity to really kind of get to find out what you don't know. I think everybody on the call is a professional in whatever it is they do. You've been doing great at whatever it is you do. You know, our goal is definitely to encourage you in what you're doing great. Make sure you know that what you've been doing is awesome. But then at the same time, you know, just kind of challenge you to push a little farther to help maximize that potential that you do have. As we kind of get ready to end tonight's call, I want you to really be seriously considering your leadership style. Then I want you to maybe think about the leadership styles of the other people around you. Where do they fall on, you know, on that disc circle, that worksheet that you received the email of? Are they D, or are they I, are they S, and they C? And then after you figure out what they are, then what does that mean for your organization? How do you better use them? Again, coming off the Super Bowl and any football team, I think we have to choose a leader. We say that the leader, particularly on offense, is the quarterback. Interesting thing about the quarterback is the quarterback touches the ball on every single play, but the quarterback is not necessarily responsible for making every play. Nope. No, what the quarterback has to do is the quarterback has to take the ball and then put the ball in the hands of the best personnel at that particular time. You know, if it's short yards, give it to the running back. I got to go further. You know, I may have to throw it longer to a wide receiver. If they keep covering the outsides, I might have to drop it to the big guy, the tight end that's running across the middle. He or she becomes a leader not because they make every play, not because they score every touchdown, not because their name is the only one called, not necessarily even, you know, as seen this weekend, that they get the MVP. They are the leader because they know the personnel that's around them, and then they get the ball into the hands of the right person at the right time. But that only happens if you know leadership style. That only is effective for you if you understand, different personalities. Some of you are probably sitting there, you know, even thinking now that maybe the quarterback isn't the best leader. Maybe it's the coach. Maybe the leader isn't the quarterback on the field. Maybe it's the coach on the outside looking in. That could be true. Or maybe it's the upper management, the guy who hired the coach, who then hired the players. Or maybe it's the owner who hired the manager, who hired the coach, who hired – I'm not sure. But there's always some person who has to look at an entire organization and choose people based on their individual personality, style, and their skills. You can be a better leader. You're doing good at what you do. You know, I've had the opportunity to meet most of everyone who's on our call. I'm confident in what you do. And I think your calling in makes all of us better because now your style will merge with our styles and we'll get to see better styles. But it's only after we are honest and identify the styles we have and the leadership behavior that we actually exhibit. We're getting ready to close out today. You will receive as early as tomorrow morning the audio recording for our call tonight. And so, again, I want to thank you for calling in.